Hello.
Hi, everyone.
My name is John.
My name is Arvin.
And this is
Behind the Scenes
of Our Best Days, Season 7. And for those of you who are new listeners or new watchers, this podcast is all about the behind the scenes of Victory Ministry here in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
We have 5 entities.
We have 6 now. It's 6. 2 Dream Centers, Tulsa Dream Center, West Tulsa Dream Center, Victory Christian School, Victory College, Victory Church.
And Camp.
Camp Victory.
Camp Victory. And so we have the privilege and the honor to serve here at Victory Church behind Pastor Paul and Pastor Ashley. We are so grateful for our pastors. And we do the Big Rock events here, which is our productions and conferences. And then we have our week-to-week duties. And we kind of get pulled in on everything. Currently, this upcoming Thursday, we have a gala, which is for our school to raise money for the STEM program.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so any type of event we kind of get pulled on, whether it's for creative meetings or helping out with content or any of those things.
Yeah.
So that is a spiel of us. But today, one thing that we wanted to talk about is, you know, in ministry, for those of you who are listening and watching, or even in life.
Oh, yeah.
How many of you guys are right? You become aware immediately when someone is socially unaware.
100%.
Okay, let me tell a story. Yeah. So this morning I was walking in, and while I'm walking in, there is someone from the outside, another ministry in another state, and this individual was here for our college weekend. And this individual stopped me, and I don't know this person, stopped me.
Yeah.
I'm meeting them, I'm talking to them, and I ask a question.
Yeah.
I ask a simple question. It's like, okay, so what brought you here? And then there is this long tangent and lots of name dropping of people that I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
So this is to protect people's names.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, Jan and Bill, they first, I was first ordained by Jan and Bill, and then I went to Rusty Nail Baptist in Wisconsin, and then there in Sturgeon Bay, you know, God gave me a name by Walter Williams, which I had brunch with at 10 a.m., and then after brunch at 10 a.m., we met up for a prayer meeting at Lucy Lou's house. And then that night, Jim Carrey was guest preaching at the at Burn Baby Burn Revival Fire Night. Now that was in, that was in Texarkana. No. That was actually in Louisiana.
And what are you doing this whole time?
And the whole time, my mouth is open and I'm like, bro, get to the point. Now, here's the thing. I changed my accent. The guy did not talk like that.
Yeah.
And he did not talk about Jim Carrey preaching at a revival fire. Yeah. But
it was the ghost of Paul Crouch.
The ghost of Paul Crouch from TBN. But anyways, this individual, sweetheart, but in that moment, I was on my way to something that was very important.
Yeah.
And I genuinely wanted to know hey, what brought you here?
Yeah.
And this is what I was expecting was, hey, I'm from this place and I am here for X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. And
then
I would then ask, okay, well, I'm so glad that you're here. And if there's anything that you need, let me know.
Right.
But after 10 minutes, I had to cut him off 3 different times.
It's amazing.
And then go, I am so sorry. I actually need to go. I need to run. I am late. Different.
Yeah.
It became more and more urgent.
Yeah.
Then at the 10-minute mark, I looked at my phone and I said, sir, I need to go. It was a sir. I need to leave. I am late for something. I'm so happy that you're here. And then I walked away.
Yeah.
I'm not bashing on this individual.
Sure.
But I'm saying this comes up quite often.
Totally.
Specifically in the church world. And it doesn't mean that I don't have any time for anyone.
No, of course not.
But if I am genuinely interested.
Yeah.
Like, give me something to.
Yeah.
Like, land the plane.
Yeah. Totally.
You know, there's been moments where I've been on the front row, and this is my this is my hand motion for land the plane. And I've done this to Pastor Paul. I've done this to my mom, where I put up my hand like this. It's in a straight forearm. And then I take my other hand and then I make an airplane. And then I treat like this hand is landing on the landing strip.
Yeah.
And I go, I do this. Mm-hmm. It's almost like my form of ASL, sign language of land the plane, land the plane.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know?
And here's the thing. I am currently right now, I am rambling on this podcast and
Love
you
it.
Should be able to do this to me.
Sure.
But I do believe that the epidemic, the next pandemic in this world
is long-windedness.
Is long-windedness and unsocial awareness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess it makes sense that it would frustrate you because you and I both, and many people who grow up in the church world, are forced to become socially aware. It's not a choice.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's survival. When
it's
you're a young kid, especially a PK, you have to figure out how to survive and being socially aware and reading the room. So when you meet someone who not only are they not choosing to do that, nor have they ever been forced to, their refusal to do so is now also making you late to something you were headed to.
Right.
And then you're going to have that explanation and da 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 da. I remember sitting with somebody one time. We were in a restaurant and they were speaking, but they were speaking very loud.
Oh, they didn't have an inside voice.
Not at all. And
okay,
everyone
can
hear
us. Do any
of
you guys have an outside voice but indoor? Okay, no one from Jersey.
And I, just, I was sitting there thinking the whole time while he's speaking, how is he not aware that everyone is looking and hearing what he's saying? And then it occurred to me, this particular person, they've never been forced to be aware of the fact that there are other people in the room. Every room they've been in, they're the thing happening.
That's good. Say that again.
Every room that they've been in, they're the thing that's happening.
Like they're the main person.
Yeah, they're the
event. The main character.
Yeah,
main
that's
character
right. They're the headliner of every room they walk into. And I think it's great that there's such a thing as confidence, but I think confidence is so much more attractive when it comes in the form of helping lift others up as well. You know?
Okay, so I got a really bad score. Not bad, but we both went to Oral Roberts University, which is right across the street.
Yeah.
We have God's hand sticking out of the ground.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Whenever I was younger, I always thought God was black.
Because of the hands.
Because of the hands.
Yeah.
If you guys do not know, there's African-American hands coming out of the ground and they're praying.
Yeah.
And so that's just how I saw God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And still to this day.
Absolutely.
You know, amen.
And we found out we were right.
Yeah. And we found out. And so, anyways, but while I was there, you have to, whenever I was going there, you had to get I think it was like a 20 on your ACT to get in or
be
whatever.
Considered,
well,
yeah.
I took my ACT 3 times and I got a 17, 18, and 19.
Yeah.
Didn't I? So when you go in, they force you to take a course called University Success.
Yeah.
And in University Success, it does not go towards your degree.
Yeah.
It's basically a 0 degree,
yeah.
But you take it 3 days a week.
Yeah.
And the first class,
yeah.
You get a DVD, and it's a woman walking into the cafeteria, and she goes, "This is the cafeteria." Now, most of you are wanting to make friends, so the best thing to do is to sit in the middle of the table where people are forced to sit around you. Then when someone says their name, you say their name 3 times in a sentence.
Oh,
and then
wow.
In your head, you repeat it 3 times.
Basic people
and
skills.
You get their name with the color of their shirt. Brian is in sports management. Brian, is sports management fun? Brian, what wing do you live on? Brian has a green shirt. And then you say that to him. And in my mind, I'm like, I am in a class for idiots. The reason why I didn't do good on my ACT is because I did have social awareness.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But
it's the other problem entirely.
It's the other problem.
Yeah, that's amazing.
The people who got 24s on their ACT need to be in University Success.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But University Success was how to win friends and influence people, basically.
People. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And anyways, but I just remember being in that, and I was like, but, and it was funny, and people told me that it, you know, they... my friends at the time would make fun of me for being in it.
Yeah.
But I was like, wow, I think we need that. We need a University Success in the church world.
Yeah. Why do you think people end up like that?
You know, I do think that people are they don't love themselves. And if you are if you don't love yourself and you're not comfortable with yourself, you feel the need to name drop. You feel the need to seek affirmation from the person you're talking to. And so your goal is, I want to give them context for the thing I'm getting ready to say. And so you do that, but then you lose track of time. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And then you become a sundial. You know what I mean? And so, and then you're unfortunately, whenever I, another thing we've talked about is the green room. The green room at, we have guest speakers coming in. We have an event that's happening, I think in 2 weeks. And we have Craig Rochelle, Tim Tebow is coming. The guy with no arms and legs.
Nick Vujicic.
Neck. Nick. Nick Vujicic. Nick.
He would love that joke.
Yes, because he's funny and he's a
Yeah, he gets it.
And then there's some other people, but whenever I've been in the back room or in the green room and T.D. Jakes is in there or Stephen Furtick. It is unique to me. And now here's the thing. I don't say very much words. I am afraid to have conversations with them because I'm like, I feel like I'm going to say something dumb, which shows that I'm not very secure in myself around high to do people. I'm just very much like, hi, how are you? Thank you so much. Would you like some more water? You know what I mean? But there are some people who have come as visitors and they have gotten access into the green room and they sit down and they go, oh, you know, Steve, I noticed that you have this thing where you talk out of the corner of your mouth on TV. And I have this speech therapist that has worked. I am not joking.
Unbelievable.
This individual goes on this tangent talking to Stephen Furtick.
Awesome.
And this person doesn't attend Victory Church.
They
were there with a group of pastors. And they were like, Steve, I want to help you out.
Amazing.
And it was the most cringiest thing. And they talked for 3 minutes and Steve goes, okay.
Yeah.
And then turned to his wife and began talking and it was quiet and everyone watched it happen. And then one time whenever we were with, when T.D. Jakes was in the back, this another pastor was there visiting to watch Pastor T.D. to be there for his sermon. But he was in the green room and beforehand, he was just talking about his revelation of scripture. Talking about, you know, the book of the Corinth, the church of Corinth, they blah, 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 blah. And in my mind, I'm like, you're talking to Yoda. And you are a Padawan. Like,
You're reading the back of the cereal box.
You read the back of
to Ernest Hemingway.
And T.D. Jakes was so kind. He just stood there and he goes,
I'm sure he gets that a lot.
And he goes, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, are we ready? And looked to Pastor Paul and was like, we're going to go in and speak. It was nice to meet you. But everyone in the room just cringed and wanted to crawl underneath the rug for this pastor who was trying to. And I was like, man, we need a handbook on when to do and what not to do. Just in life.
Absolutely. The fact that that happens on its own organically points to what's wrong with our perspective in general.
Talk about that.
When something that's fascinated me a lot lately is the little by little, I've come upon these concepts that are starting to connect together and become a spectrum. And so the best way to explain it is that when God brings the people of Israel out of Egypt and his intention is for them to come to the Mount Sinai, well, before then, Mount Sinai, to meet with him so that then he can lead them to Sinai correctly, that they could, his intention is that he would live in them, walk among them, be their God, that they would be his people. He wanted every single person to experience him the way Moses had, like face to face, close. And so he tells the people, hey, like on this day, I'm going to come meet. It's basically like a romantic thing where he's like, this is our first date.
This is our first encounter.
And so when the time comes, the people go, actually, Moses, you go up on the mountain for us and then we'll stay down here. You come on down after he talks to you. Tell us what he said and we'll do what he says. Which is saying, It misses the point entirely. It would be like if I was going to get coffee with my wife and then someone calls and goes, hey, you know what? Actually, I got her a coffee already, so you don't have to go have coffee with her. And it's like, the coffee wasn't the point, dude.
Yeah.
The point was the time spent together. The coffee was the excuse. And yet these individuals, so they become derivative of where Moses is. So simultaneously, Moses is like celebrity for them. He's the big important guy. And then they can go on with the life that they want to live for themselves, apart from him, apart from God, and they'll just obey. And then, so there's Moses, who's actually close to God with Aaron and the other individuals, Caleb, Joshua, etc. Then you've got these people who are derivative, who live at the bottom. That right there, that section explains, unfortunately, the modern charismatic evangelical demographic, which is these individuals are...
So, yeah, put that in layman's terms.
So most Christians who approach church end up soft because they are like this. They go, my pastor is responsible to speak to God and come tell me what God says. And it kind of creates this consumer, it takes the consumer economy of the United States and it applies it to the Christian faith.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, so Netflix queues up shows for me. This app queues up restaurants for me. This other app does this for me. Everything is queuing things up for me based on an algorithm. And then my church just queues up, you know, good spiritual stuff for me. As opposed, and I don't know a single pastor in the country who would not say, please, on your own time, go read the word. Go experience what God's saying. This is not something that, what I'm saying is not negative about the church. It's not negative about pastors. It's
right.
It's merely human behavior at large, and it started back then. And then you get people who are even derivative of the people of God, where they're on the other side, and they're like, you know, we'll just be humans. We don't need God. So you see how it slowly becomes a spectrum all the way from Moses at the top of this mountain to Pharaoh at the top of this one.
So it's even deeper than what we thought, as opposed to just social awareness.
I would say so. I think the social awareness part is indicative. It's like a symptom of this larger scale issue.
It's so having no social awareness is just a symptom.
Yes. Yeah, because if it's not that they don't have social awareness at all, it's that they are choosing how they're going to be social based on a value system that's not godly at all. It is this idea of celebrity, which is unfortunate because you can pursue that and get to that, and then it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And that's why God doesn't want it for us.
Yeah. You know, I think that is fascinating. As you were talking about it yesterday, this came up. I was coaching over with the high school, and this other coach who is new to God, and what pushed him towards God is he had his son pass away in a car accident.
Wow.
Absolutely tragic. His son had a Division I scholarship to play sports.
Mm.
And prom night, his senior year.
Awful.
His life was taken in a car crash.
Awful.
And he was like, and he would, he was an Easter, he was an Easter Christmas Eve Christian.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And after that, it forced him and his family to lean into God because they were so devastated.
I'm sure.
So anyways, but as he has come back into the church, you know, he's now been consistent for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And he was asking me these questions. He was like, he asked me, he was like, hey, so I've now been consistent, you know, in church with a year and a half, and I always love what I hear, and it's awesome.
Mm.
And he goes, but why are all the sermons geared towards soft people?
Wow. Wow.
He asked that.
Yeah.
And he said, he goes, why are sermons geared towards soft people?
Absolutely.
And he was like, I'm not talking about just Victory or Pastor Paul. And he was like, I listen to podcasts. And
no,
he was like,
yeah.
Everything is towards soft people. And he's like, but what about the people who are out here making it happen?
Yeah.
That have experienced. And he is someone who has been through, he went through several marriages. He had several addictions.
Sure.
He had a rough life growing up.
He
got the crap beat out of him from his dad.
Right.
And he is deciding to become a man of God and raise his family.
Good for him.
And he works 60 hours a week.
Yeah,
so he is a super achiever. Mm-hmm. And he's like, dude, when I wake up, I decide I'm the alpha.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of a bad A dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But he's just like, when I think of God, I want to think of God that way. And he goes, but what I'm hearing is, if you're having a bad day or if you're feeling down.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, and he was just like,
yeah.
I just feel like we, and he was saying we, and he goes, I will never leave the church again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering,
right?
Why is this?
Yeah.
And he goes, because, and he's like, whenever, you know, in between, he has his own, he is a strength coach out of college. He has his own gym that he runs, and then he also serves with me. So he's everywhere, always training different types of people, and he trains professional, collegiate, high school, and even middle school athletes. So he works with all different types of people, and he's like, my main thing is don't run from hard.
Yeah.
And he goes, that's what I tell all of my athletes.
Yeah.
He's like, because I believe every time you run from something that's hard, it will never go away.
That's right.
And he goes, I read a Bible, and David ran towards Goliath.
Right, exactly.
And he was like, he wasn't the size of him, but God used what he had.
That's right.
And he was like, where's the word like that?
Mm.
And I was like, man. And I told him, I said, this is what I told him. I told him another story to answer his, is me being long-winded. Land the plane, John. But this was something that I was told by my father-in-law. My father-in-law, my ex's father, he was the first, he was one of the first African-American kids to be segregated in Tulsa public schools.
Mm.
So he grew up in segregation. And then whenever he was a junior, it was the first time where they segregated and they picked 5 African-Americans to put into an all-white school. And he was one of the 5 they picked.
Wow.
And he said within the first 2 days, I was charismatic. He said, I was working at Burger King flipping burgers. And he was like, so I had a job, I had some money. And he was like, I was very comfortable in my own skin. All these girls started talking to me and some football players jumped me and they're like, you'll never talk to a white girl again.
Wow.
And he ended up marrying a white girl. And so his kids were mixed. But anyways, but he was like, and he goes, so growing up in that, he said, my dad had 6 wives.
Wow.
And he said, so I have cousins all over the north side of Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I was the one boy in my family that graduated from school that kept a job. And he goes, it was Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I flipped burgers for 5 years. And he's like, and I became manager.
Yeah.
And he was like, and then I went to college and then I got a degree. He's like, and today he's making 6 figures.
Yeah.
And he's over the financing of a car dealership.
Beautiful.
But he worked in ministry. He was over the Dream Center for a while.
Nice.
Just an absolute gem of a person.
Absolutely.
But he said, throughout my life, because of me growing up, I made a decision. There is no other human that is in charge of my spiritual growth except for me.
Yeah.
And he said, so I don't choose a church based on good preaching. I choose a church based on where am I called and what aligns, what church has a vision that aligns with my calling.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I'm very big into outreach.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in feeding the poor. I believe in missions. I believe in what we do. And he goes, I go to Victory.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I love Pastor Paul.
Yeah.
I go to Victory not for Pastor Paul's preaching.
Yeah.
He goes, I love Pastor Paul's preaching.
Sure.
And he's like, but Pastor Paul is not my spiritual dietitian.
Right,
and
exactly.
And he's like, I am in charge of my spiritual growth.
Absolutely.
And he's like, Pastor Paul, that's icing on the cake.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, and I go here because I choose to go here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And and I told that to this other guy, and I said, basically, there are going to come times where you have heard every sermon under the sun, and you're going to have to chew the meat and spit out the bone.
Yeah.
Not everything that is said from a pulpit is going to be for you.
Sure, yeah.
It's going to be for other people. So you can't get upset if you are listening to a podcast or listening to a sermon and you're like, this isn't for me. Chew the meat and spit out the bone.
Yeah.
If the sermon is 30 minutes or 45 minutes, there's going to be something in there for you that God's going to speak through this individual, through scripture to you. But everything else, it is you and the Bible and God.
Absolutely.
But there's no human on a stage or in a podcast that is over, that's your spiritual dietitian.
Yeah.
And so anyways, I said that, and I actually was like, I'm surprised I said that. That was kind of good.
Yeah.
and so I told him, I said, I will let you know. That was the first time I said anything like that.
Yeah.
And I surprised myself.
Yeah.
And so I'm now going to apply that to John.
Yeah.
Is that it's really not necessarily about, you can never control the sermons that are preached from the church you are at.
Sure.
The one thing you can control is your diet.
Absolutely.
Your spiritual diet.
Absolutely.
Of what you do. And so the goal is not asking people, hey, can you preach more intense sermons? And there are some people who have a very stout, we'll call it Sermon on the Rocks.
Sure.
Instead of Sermon for Softies.
A
very stout, strong word.
Yeah.
John Bevere is one of those
totally,
people.
Totally. Absolutely.
We view him as someone who will come in and it's a straight no chaser.
Yeah, it's like
I'm
surgery.
Saying all of these alcohol things, but I don't drink. I'm using it as a
analogy. Yeah.
To where John Bevere will speak and it is straight from scripture.
Yeah.
And it is not sugar-coated.
At all.
And it's a punch in the face, and it's sometimes the best thing.
I love it.
I am still thinking of the fear of God will always be relevant to me because I want to stay sensitive to what God is speaking to me.
Of course, yeah.
And so anyways, those of you who are listening and watching, you know, yes, you can listen to some people where you go, wow, I really enjoy this communicator.
Yeah.
But there's going to come a time, it may not be this year, it may be 2 years down the road.
Sure.
Where you have heard everything.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard every sermon.
Yeah.
Even the best communicators in the world. And you're going to think, I don't like them anymore. And that's not the thing.
Yeah.
It is you.
Sure.
You are up for your own growth. And everything else is icing on the cake.
100%. Yeah. I think it's never a good situation, no matter how good your preacher, pastor, church is, if you don't take ownership of your own relationship with God, it's never going to work out well, no matter how fantastic the teaching is. It's also interesting how you can learn a lot about the audience or the customer, speaking plainly.
Customer.
You can tell a lot about them based on the products that are made for them. Because it's easy, I think, for a lot of people I heard someone say something yesterday about it, where they would blame the church at large for soft sermons or something like that, or other church behavior. And the thing I wish they were aware of, and I hope that people who are on staff at churches would feel this way, or if people aren't, they could be made aware of it now. The majority of the time, the decisions about how to spread the message, the medium is decided upon by what does our audience respond to. And so it's the pastor's job to take what God is saying and position it for them. That's the role of a communicator, a speaker, etc. But you can learn a lot about the audience based on the most successful type of sharing. And so I don't think it's a bad thing that there need to be churches of various sizes that
Absolutely.
Have various levels of preaching.
Yes.
And it's great that there's really big ones. It's great that there's really small ones. I've been in both my whole life, and I've loved both. The more important thing is, does an individual take ownership of their own approach to all this stuff?
Yeah, it comes down to the individual.
That's right.
Yeah, even though the church at large gets blamed for a lot of things, and
sure.
I know churches are organizations, and then they're filled with people that are imperfect, and they're not going to meet your needs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just get that out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
But continue what you were saying.
No, absolutely. It's that over time, if you really want to get into knowing God, church is going to become complementary to what God is doing in your life. And you enjoy it, and it does fulfill a need. And also, you become an individual who's like, what can I give to the church?
Not just, what can I give?
Yeah, how can I, who am I helping? Who am I meeting?
That way you're not just, you're not just a... there are people who are reservoirs.
Yeah.
And then there are people who are rivers.
That's right.
Rivers is you flow.
Yeah.
So if you're giving out, you need, whenever I have found myself zoning out in a sermon, sometimes it's because I'm tired, but there has been time, because I've been in 1 billion sermons in my life.
Yeah, of course. Yep.
Is that if I am still getting emotional at altar calls,
yeah.
there's sometimes where I will go down to an altar
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, man, I don't remember what the sermon was about.
Yeah.
But I'm going down to the altar to pray for someone. So that way it forces me to give out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then there is times where I'm like, I get emotional and I'm emotional. Like, in my own seat, by myself, I'm writing things down.
Yeah.
God is speaking to me through what is being said. And I am getting emotional right there. And I'm like, okay, this means that I've been giving out this week.
Mm-hmm.
And this is filling me up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I think that, yeah, the river over the reservoir is such a great thought.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, what it would come down to is, and this is just me personally, I've Say come it. To accept this about myself. Most of the time, I'm pretty good at communicating an idea or a concept in hopefully a way that appeals to everybody. What I will never understand, what I have decided is my line in the sand, is an individual who has decided, and I've watched this with friends I grew up with my whole life, all the way from Christian kindergarten up to college, is that there you have the invitation from God to be where Moses was.
Mm.
And even more so because the Holy Spirit would live in you. You have an invitation from God to get that close to Him, and you choose to be down at the bottom of the mountain. I will never understand that. It will never make sense to me why people, I can understand why certain things happen, and I need to be very gentle with this, and I have compassion for people who experience awful events in their life, and it actually makes them hesitant to go close to God, because when you try to go that close to God, there is opposition. But the only thing worse than that is if you are content to not get close to God, and it's not just opposition, it's that even the comforts of life no longer feel good.
Mm.
That's terrifying to me.
When the comforts of life no longer feel good.
Where you decide, I'm just going to indulge in pleasure. I'm just going to indulge. I'm going to throw off restraint completely. And I'm just going to go about what makes me feel good.
Mm.
I've watched friends of mine who lost their ability to feel. So it's like...
Have you guys, and maybe some of you guys listening or watching have ever felt this, because I have felt this before, where you have said, maybe out loud, I feel nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You're just numb.
Yeah. I think the majority of things we have are absolutely. And it's not because you've done something wrong. Oftentimes it's like life happens, something terrible happens. You go about this. I know friends who've decided, okay, I'm in for this God thing. I want to go know Him and pursue Him and risk and do my calling and all that stuff. Well, if you're doing that, you have opposition. And then every single time you face opposition, you have to make the decision. Am I going to exit ramp off of this highway and go into just distracting myself, or do I want to persist and continue? And it's basically choosing your heart.
Yeah.
Because I find it far more difficult to exit the plan and purpose of God to temporarily indulge in whatever I could and ultimately lose my ability to feel in the first place.
Yeah.
And then it's like, It's fascinating that on the inverse of that, when you are in the midst of something super difficult and you're still obeying the plan and purpose of God, the hardest things you're going through, there's still peace and comfort from the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Whereas on the 100%. Other side, in the world's place, even the pleasure you're indulging in doesn't feel good. That's
yeah.
wild to me. So all that to
no,
say,
it's like
I will
the
land
prodigal,
the plane.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All that to say, it is a much better life when you take ownership of your own relationship with God.
Taking ownership, and don't run from hard.
That's right. Yeah.
Don't run from hard.
Yeah.
You know, as you guys know, those of you who are listening, watching, even if you don't read the Bible, you know the story of David and Goliath, which David was a man after God's own heart. And that whole story is about David running towards the hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really a believer's life,
mm-hmm.
running towards the hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, well, this is too big. Great.
Exactly.
If you run towards it, then that means that God will be there to help you, because God used a stone and a sling.
Yeah.
You know, He will use what you have, but you got to take what you have and then run towards that thing that you're terrified of, or the hard thing.
Yeah.
because what it does is whenever God shows up in that way,
yeah,
and you go, oh my goodness, if God wouldn't have showed up, I would have been smitten or yeah. smited.
Sure, yeah.
Not
yeah.
smitten, smited.
Smited, yeah.
if he doesn't show up, and that is the most alive you'll ever be.
100%.
Anyways, yeah. but hey, thank you guys so much for listening Appreciate and watching it. Today. And yes, let us know, message us, let us know what you guys are thinking about this podcast. But we've been so grateful for all of you listening and watching here, season 7.
See you later.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.